Lucifer, the son of the morning, was uplifted within himself. Pride got a hold of his heart. He began to demand worship towards himself. And so in this became, we can't call it the great battle, because Jesus said, I saw him fall as lightning flashes across the sky. Whenever God got tired of it, I don't know how long, when or what, probably pretty much instant, he just moved his hand and bam, Satan was out of heaven. Down, cast down, the word of the Lord tells us, cast down into the earth. And I'm not sure how long it went by, but we all know the love story of the word of God, and the angelic hosts worshiped him, but not in a way that God desired. He wanted more than just to be worshiped. He wanted a relationship that the very nature of the angelic host could not give him. And so God in his power and wisdom began to create and created the heavens and the earth, the word of the Lord tells us. And then he began to create the grass and the field and the land and the fish and the fowl of the air and the beast upon the earth. And no doubt Satan watched as all of this began to take place, and he could see the reaction of God and watch the eyes and the expressions of the Almighty, if you please, as he created, and nothing really significant taking place. But somewheres in this process, the word of the Lord says that God formed man out of the dust of the ground. And something was different about this creation of God. God breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He created eternity on the inside of man. Man made never to die, but to be an eternal mate with God. He created his bride. He created his wife, if you please, that one that he could forever have this wonderful relationship with. And God saw that it wasn't well for man to be alone, so he created from the side of Adam this beautiful bride called Eve. And Satan on the outskirts was watching all of this. And I want to tell you that he realized that God was in love with this creation. He would watch God in the cool of the eve. Every day God would come down, and it was different. There was something about God that would change, and something about his nature. And I don't know, maybe God got giddy, if that's possible. But every time he got around Adam and Eve, there was an excitement about God. There was something different about him. And Satan could see that relationship. Watched as it grew, until one day the Bible tells us that the serpent, which was more subtle than all of the animals of the kingdom, made his way to Eve. Now, he did not go to Adam, because Satan has always desired from the beginning to go after the bride. There was something he noticed in it, that if I can get the bride, see, I can't hurt God. He's almighty. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. I can't sneak up on him. I can't hurt him. I can't torture him. Oh no, he's God. But if I can get his bride, if I can touch his bride, I can touch God. And so he worked his own way down. Adam had the authority. Adam had the power. Adam ruled the domain. And so Satan said, I can't even get to Adam, but if I can get to his bride, if I can reach his bride, then I think
that I can reach him. And so Satan makes his way there to Eve. And we know this story, how Eve was deceived, but Adam sinned. They failed and were cast out of the garden. Now we find ourselves in this text here, because it didn't end there. Satan would watch God as he marched through the eons of time, as God sought a way to get back the bride that he lost. And Satan was determined that God would never receive her again. He watched as he called Abram out of the land of his nativity. He watched as he said, through your seed, I'm going to create a nation. I'm going to have a people. I'm going to have a bride. He watched it all. And so he kept his eye upon Abram, kept his eye upon Sarai. He followed them through. And now they make their way into Egypt, which represents sin, represents the world. Pharaoh, who represents Satan, the ruler of darkness. They make their way in there. Satan sneaks into the chambers of Pharaoh. He gets into his mind. He begins to speak into his heart, because Satan could not physically come and take her, but he was going to find a way to get the bride of Christ. Look at your neighbor and say, Pharaoh wants to marry you. And so he gets into the heart of Pharaoh. Genesis 12:14, we read it came to pass when they came into the land of Egypt, the Egyptians, they saw it. They looked into it. She was beautiful. I like that. It said the woman, that she was very fair. She represented the church. She was the bride of Abram, who was going to become the bride of Christ. I wanted to stop and tell this church something right now. I don't care how the world paints it up. I don't care how they dress it up. I don't care how they fix everything up. There is nothing more beautiful in this world than the bride of Christ. I want to tell you, there's something about you, honey. There's something about the bride of Christ. Everywhere as we go, we get the attention of this world. Why? Because we are the most beautiful thing they have ever seen, that they've ever laid their eyes upon. Read an article not too long ago that one of our choirs, choir of the United Pentecostal Church in Indiana, I believe it was, the Indianapolis Choir, was the first on the list. They were requested, they were asked to sing at the Super Bowl. They were going to be the backup choir for Madonna and her halftime act. Now listen to me. As the world standards go, that's a great compliment to be asked to sing in the most viewed televised event in the world. Is a great compliment. But I want to say, I want to stop and say, what are you talking about? You call us pale face. You call us holy rollers. You call us all these things. But now, for your most main event of the world, all of a sudden you're asking one of our choirs to be the backup. Tell somebody, Pharaoh wants to marry you. My God, have mercy. They can say what they want, but deep inside of their heart, they know how gorgeous we really are. They know how beautiful the church really is. We stand out everywhere as we go. The glory of God shines upon us. His power, His omnipotence shines through us. They can see it. They can spot you. They know you. I'm a million miles off. I don't know what choir that was that accepted, but shame on them. It wasn't one of ours. Our choir wrote back. They were very nice about it, but they said, sir, are sorry. But because of what this woman represents and the sacrilegiousness of her past and the song she sings and the betraying of the cross in an ungodly way and all of these things, we will not take the bride of Christ and display her for the world. I want to tell you, the Egyptians saw her and she was the most beautiful thing they've ever seen. She was a woman that was chaste. She was a woman that was beautiful. She was a woman that was holy. She was a woman that was righteous. They haven't seen it, haven't experienced it. They wanted her. When they saw her, they said, get this woman and bring her before Pharaoh. Woo! Can you shout amen? Look at your neighbor and say, Pharaoh wants to marry you. He wants to marry you because you're gorgeous. You outshine anything in this world. There's nothing like you. Nothing compares to you. Young people, don't tuck your head on school grounds. Don't you walk around in shame. Don't you let that devil intimidate you. Let me tell you something. Every parent of every child in that school wishes they had a young lady or a young man that acted like you. You don't drink. You don't smoke. You don't cuss. You do your homework most of the time. You live right, you act right, you talk right, you behave yourself. You're not in the principal's office every other day. You're not on the failure list. You apply yourself to your work. You behave yourself. You respect your authority. It's yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. You know how to behave. You know how to behave. God has taught you. You're the most beautiful thing there is on that school. Raise up your head. Walk with pride in the Holy Ghost. Have mercy. And tell Pharaoh where he can get off. You're the bride of Christ. Huh, yeah, they brought her in. Pharaoh saw her. Oh my, she's more beautiful. Y'all were describing her to me, but Lord, I would have never dreamed in a million years she was this gorgeous. Her hair was long and black and ravenous. Her eyes were dark and beautiful. Her skin was olive fair. And everything else was really nice, and she was just beautiful. And she was ushered in before Pharaoh. His hands began to tremble. His heart began to beat. He slowly raised himself up off the throne. And Satan's thinking, I got her now. I got her now. He rises up. Oh, yes. I want this woman for my wife. She's beautiful. Give him camels. Give him donkeys. Give him maid servants. Give him men servants. Give him money. Give him anything. Whatever he wants. I've got to have this woman for my wife. Go buy her. Go purchase her. But somewheres in the night, God stepped into that chamber, pushed Satan out of the way, and said, Pharaoh, he walked into that chamber and said, Pharaoh, I think not. She's not yours. She's mine. That is my bride. Take your hands off of her. Back off. You don't back off, Pharaoh. I'll destroy your whole kingdom. I'll tear everything down. I'll do anything for my bride. My God, I come to tell you here today, Jesus is in love with you. The devil can't have you. And God has showed up here today, and God is telling the devil, take your hands off. Leave my bride alone. She belongs to me.
My Lord, worship the Lord for a moment.
Be seated. I think the thing that offended God the most is that Pharaoh thought she could be bought. That Pharaoh actually thought that he had enough stuff. The bride of Christ. Give him this. Give him that. Give him half my kingdom. Whatever it takes. I've got to have her. She's got to be mine. I got news for you, Pharaoh. The word of God says, and what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For his soul is worth more than all of this world. I've come to tell you, the devil ain't got enough stuff. The world doesn't have enough glitter. It doesn't seem good enough. The cars aren't fancy enough. The homes aren't big enough. The clothes aren't nice enough. No world, no world. You don't have enough. You can't afford me. I'm too expensive. I wish somebody would get a hold of this revelation. You're selling out too cheap. You're selling out too cheap. Be seated. And some of you sold yourself for $1.50 beer. How much are cigarettes nowadays? Like $40 a pack. You ought to be spanked. You spend $150 a week on cigarettes. God saves you. And then you tell God you can't afford $20 in tithes. You ought to be spanked. Some of you are selling yourself too cheap. Pharaoh has come to you. And he's proposed to you. And he's saying, I'll give you a better job. But you'll have to miss church to get this better job. And you sail right out for just a few dollars. He says, I'll give you that good-looking, successful man, young lady. Of course, what Pharaoh doesn't tell you is that he has a bad habit that will destroy him and you in the next 5 years of your life. He didn't tell that to you. He didn't tell you that the young man is actually controlled by Satan. And everything and every thought that he does and every desire and passion that he has is controlled by the adversary. He just shows you this fine man and this good-looking stout of a man walks up to you and begins to offer you things. And you sell your walk out on God for a little relationship that soon will deteriorate and fall to nothing. I'm so thankful that Moses had a revelation. And Moses said, I would rather suffer the affliction with God's people then enjoy the pleasures of sin, which are but for a season. Come on, somebody. You're selling out too cheap. God's got great things for you. God wants to bless you. It's time you tell Pharaoh to get out of your life. Tell Egypt, get out of my life.
wants to marry you. But he don't have enough to buy you. Genesis 12 and 17 says, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh. God stepped right in there, put plagues on Pharaoh, broke down his strength, tore down his resistance, exposed him for the dirty, filthy, worldly dog that he really was. And God marched his bride out of that throne room of Pharaoh and back into the lifeline blood of the bride of Christ. And they continue to make their way down. I've come to tell you, when this service is over today, you will have no more excuses, because I feel it in the Holy Ghost right now. God, watch me now. God is stepping into someone's life right now. If you'll feel after him, you'll feel his presence. You can feel something tugging upon your heart. And now all of a sudden, that sin, that habit, that rebellion that had a hold of your heart, you can feel it losing its grip. What's happening is that the Holy Ghost is plaguing the devil. The Holy Ghost is plaguing the sin. The Holy Ghost is plaguing the addiction. My God, have mercy. The Holy Ghost has walked into your life, and he is breaking the power and the chains of sin. He is crushing the shackles that are about your neck and the chains that are about your feet. He is destroying the power of the enemy. And before you leave here today, you will be able to walk right out of the throne room of sin and walk right into the presence of Christ and become the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. Man, I wish I could hold your attention for 3 hours, because that's what I got here. Let me tell you, if he can't marry you, he will try to pollute you. If he can't put the ring of sin on your finger, left hand, then he will try to pollute you. Genesis chapter 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid. What's some next two words? A what? She had a handmaid, an Egyptian. The world just keeps coming at you. Pharaoh wants to marry you. Go into my handmaid. Have a child. You better be careful what you conceive while messing around with Pharaoh. Miss Bride of Christ. Because sometimes they don't just die off. Sometimes they grow up and they become a thorn in your flesh for the rest of your life. And when you come out of the world, you better leave Hagar
in Egypt.
Because if you bring Hagar with you, it's only a matter of time before you lay down with her and bring something into your life which will haunt you forever. After the child was born, Sarai noticed her mistake. She realized her wrong. It's what we all do. We sin. God says no, but we do it anyway. Things are born. We realize our wrong, and it's then we try to cut it off. Cast her out of her life. No, Sarai, you should have cast her out of your life the first moment the thought came into your mind. Because the promise wasn't only to Abraham, the promise was to you that the seed, the bride of Christ, it's going to come out of your womb, Sarai. It's not going to come from Hagar or anything else out in the world. It's going to come from you. I don't want to get wrapped up all in this, and I'm still laying my foundation. But that's why a pastor preaches and tries to keep things a little straight. Because I don't want this church going to bed with Hagar's. I don't want this church thinking that we need the fanciness of the world or the entertainment of the world for our young people. We don't need it. I'm not saying they can't have fun. Our young people have more fun than any devil in hell. The church doesn't ever need to get to the place. And let me tell you, religious all over this world has done this. They have incorporated the things of the world. And they're saying, if we're going to get young people, we need to act like the world, look like the world, talk like the world. And then when we get them here, we'll tell them we're not the world. Well, they're already in the world. So why don't you not act like the world, not talk like the world, not dress like the world, and when they see you, when they see you, Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches, they're going to say, that is the most beautiful thing I have ever seen in all of my life. They're going to ask you to sing in their Super Bowls. They're going to ask you to walk in their parades. They want to show you off. They want to act like they're married to you. But I'm already married. I've already got a groom. Jesus Christ. Pastor's trying to kill the Hagars in our life and preach this thing so that we live it right, talk it right, walk it right, so that when the world sees us, we don't look like Egyptians. Let me tell you something, Brother Powell. Sarai would have never been noticed if Abraham would have said, now listen, honey. Listen, sweetie. Where's my daughter? Come here, gorgeous. Now come here, baby. Now, please don't be offended by this. It's just the truth. Now, we're about to go into Egypt. Okay? So, I don't want no one noticing how pretty you are. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make you look like an Egyptian. I'm going to cut your hair, darling. Huh? We're just going to cut your hair. Hold your hand up there. Yeah. And we're just going to put you some nice stuff across the eyes here. We're just going to cake you up and we're going to put you some nice red stuff on the lips, and we're going to dangle it from the ears and the nose, and we're going to stick some through the cheek and hang them out of your chin. And listen, they'd have walked into Egypt. Nobody would have ever noticed. They'd have been able to go right through all the land of Egypt, and not one of the servants of Pharaoh would have ever said,
Not one of them would have said, I've never seen anything so beautiful. I've never seen anything so pure. I've never seen anything. We've got to bring her to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's never seen anything like this. Do you hear me, church? Let pastor preach. Let me tell you like it is. The world needs to recognize us. They need to know there's a difference. They need to know there's a God that loves them and a God. I don't mean to get off on all of this, but I am anyway. And if you're a guest, I only preach like this every Sunday. Clap your hands to the Lord and give God praise. Sit down. You can line every religion up. And you can put in between every religion a woman or a man of the world. And someone from the world can step in. And they're only going to... They all look alike, honey. Religious or non-religious, they all look alike. But you put one apostolic, precious girl in that crowd. And they're going to say, one of these things are not like the other things. You say, well, God doesn't look on the outside. He looks on the inside. Honey, I'm not trying to save God. God is saved. I'm trying to save the world. And the world can't see my heart or read my mind. Let me tell you something. You can walk two guys in front of me and they can both be 6 foot six, weigh 315 pounds, but they're in solid muscle, but they're dressed in normal clothes. And I could not tell you which one of those is a wrestler or which one of those is a football player. But you let the football player go put his uniform on. And you let the wrestler go put his whatever that they call on. And let him walk through that door. And I'm going to be able to tell you which one is a football player and which one is a wrestler. If you dress and act and talk like the world and you go out into the world when you leave this church, they'll never know you're a child of God. But if you... If you dress that talk and everything else like a child of God, when you go out in the world, they'll be able to tell. And if they're hungry, they'll come to you. They'll desire you. No wonder the word of the Lord says, come out from among them, be you separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself. Look at your neighbor and say, Pharaoh wants to marry you. And some of you, he realizes he can't marry. So he's just trying to pollute you a little bit. I want to tell you, Egypt courted Israel. I'm going to come to a close here. We continue on time and born, die. Now, Joseph, God sends into Egypt, keeps him. See, we need to go into the world. But if we go in as the bride of Christ, the word of the Lord says God will go with us. Verse chapter 46, verse number 3, and he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not, go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Verse number 4, I will go down with thee into Egypt. See, we have to go into the world if we're going to save them. But we don't need to become a part of them. I want to show you something. I'm going to close with this. Music, come on. Pharaoh and Egypt don't like to let go once they have you. They don't like to let go. And Israel had been in Egypt for 430 years. They had been in Egypt. They had been slaves for 400 of those years. And the Bible says that God heard the cry of his bride. My God, have mercy. 400 years of living in Egypt. 400 years of being programmed. Their children, generation after generation after generation after generation, being programmed of the ways of Egypt. And still, there was a cry. A cry. A cry that said, I don't want to be married to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's not my husband. I want to be married to my Creator. I want to be married to the one that breathed life into my lungs. I don't want to be married to Pharaoh. And the groom heard the cry. And he showed up. And he said, Moses, you go tell Pharaoh, I said, let my bride go. So Moses marches right in there. And God said, let his bride go. His people, his bride. And Pharaoh said, I don't know this God. He's never spoke to me. He's about to. He's going to call you direct. And he's even willing to pay for the bill. He said, I'm not gonna let this beautiful bride go. She takes care of my house. She washes my clothes and builds my houses and cleans my streets and takes care, feeds me grapes. She does all. I'm not gonna let this bride go. And so the fight was on. The battle began. And God said, all right. Hold on that for me, buddy. Say in that mic, say Pharaoh.
Pharaoh wants to marry you.
Tell him, say,
but Jesus has come to fight for you.
So God took off his jacket. You want to fight for it, baby? It's like when two guys going over the one girl, you know. Roll them up, babe. Let's go to war.
gets out the next day. I don't have all these in order, but the water turns to blood. And Pharaoh goes. Pharaoh says, no, not gonna let her go. Flies come, no. Lice comes, no. Frogs come, no. Not gonna let her go. They come on, let's fight it out. Boils on the body. Locusts eat the field. Darkness covers everything. And finally, God gets up and says, I'm tired of this mess. He gives that final blow, the death of the firstborn. And Pharaoh finally relents and says, all right, you can have your bride. But we know the story. Now in the Red Sea, Pharaoh pursues. But God says, okay, I wasn't going to do this, but if this is the way you want to have it, because when I set her free, Satan, I'm not going to let you chase after her. Let's stand to our feet. When I bring her out of Egypt, Satan, I'm not going to be looking over my back every 20 steps to find out if you're still coming. So to battle they went. And the Red Sea encloses. Someone say, Pharaoh is no more. You know, I don't have time to get into all of this, but that plague stuff and that opening up of the Red Sea and bringing Israel out, destroying Pharaoh, that was the easy part. You see, getting Israel out of Egypt wasn't nothing for God. But getting Egypt out of Israel, he's been working on that for 4,000 years. I don't have time to go into all that, so I'm gonna leave all that alone. The word of the Lord says they weren't 3 days and they started complaining. Should have left us in Egypt. Preachers get up and preach. They say, come into the church. Your life is going to be great. I say, when you come into the church, you better put on your armor. But honey, your battle has just begun. I hear people say it all the time. Before I was in the church, I didn't have all these problems. Well, yeah. The devil had you. This is what I want to focus on here today. We'll talk about the getting Egypt out of Israel later. Every eye closed, every mind on God. Would you just whisper his name, Jesus? Do that again, Jesus. Feel something when you said that? I want to tell you, you talk about Jesus, he shows up. You say, but Pastor, you don't know my life. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how long I've lived in sin. Listen, 400 years they were in bondage in Egypt. 400 years in slavery. There was still a cry for their groom, a cry for their God.
I'm here to tell you that no matter how deep in sin you have gone, no matter how horrible some things that you may have done, your soul still cries out, Jesus. Jesus. I don't want to marry Pharaoh. I don't want to marry this world. Jesus. And that's what you're feeling right now. And these altars are open, and I know sometimes it's a little hard to step out and come down. What are people going to think? I tell you what we're going to think. We're going to think that we did the same thing, that we had to walk down the same aisle and come and give our heart to Christ. Feel something in the spirit right now. God has showed up in your life, and I'm here to tell you that he has come to destroy the power of Satan in your life. He has come to destroy the power of sin, because Satan is not your husband. He did not create you. Does not love you. And all this stuff that he's showing you, and all this stuff that he says he's going to give you, is just a bunch of lies. Don't let him lie to you. Jesus shed his blood for you. We preached about it last Sunday. The price of blood. Satan can't afford you. You're more valuable than all of this world, all of this universe. God shed his blood for you to purchase you. Don't let this world sell you a bill of goods. Don't let this world deceive you. Pharaoh saying, I want to marry you. I want to give you half my kingdom. I want to make you rich. I'm